for tapes of end time meetings, deliverance services, or Lake Hamilton Bible Campground's publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, writes Post Office Box 21516, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas, zip 71903.
Our website is www.lakehamiltonbiblecamp.com and lhbconline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Monday morning, December the 29th, 2003. Midwinter Family Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Carl Fox of Truth or Consequences, New Mexico, is the minister.
Please stand a minute. Father, in the blessed name of your precious Son, Jesus, we come to you, Father, and I just thank you that you worked in a donkey in the Old Testament, you work in a fox in the New Testament, Father, because it's you, and without you, we're all in a lot of trouble. So we praise you, Father, and we thank you. I thank you to give me the wisdom to speak your words and not mine. And Father, that you open up the ears and take away the distractions in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that this fellowship together, Father, can be purely and totally sweet, and that we all receive great things from it, Father, because it's wrapped around your love, the family, and your precious word, and your precious Son, who is the Word living. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, God bless you again in the name of Jesus Christ. I was sharing earlier with my brother in the back there about, I have a computer program that is the 1928 Webster's Dictionary. Well, why would you use an old one like that? I'm going to share some stuff about the bastard curse this morning, but we bastardize language, and Satan is behind it. You know, cool became, you know, don't get, that didn't mean get a jacket, get like it was special or something. All these things that have gone on, you know, bad is good. That went on for a while. Thank God that one died quick, because woe unto those that say evil is good. But anyway, I got so blessed when I got this, and this is not a commercial for it, but if you can find it, and there's got to be printed versions of it, because I've got to where this is what I depend on. And anyway, it's the Webster's 1928 Dictionary, which used the King James Bible to define the words. Isn't that amazing? We have Bibles that are easier to understand, but I use the King James because it's the one Jesus used. Okay? No, but I use the King James because there's Greek text that's very complete that you can check it. And words that were added for our understanding are italicized. We have some versions that leave, and I don't think it's a blessing, I think it's a curse. They leave out the fullness of the blood. Folks, that's not a blessing. That's a curse. Check the Bibles you're using. Because in making it easier for us to understand, a lot of things are being left out. Now, I know understanding is important, because this is simply the truth. What you do not understand, you misunderstand. Okay? So when you don't understand something, you are misunderstanding it. So it's important that we get understanding. It's important that we understand what we read. But even so, we have to be careful that the Bible that we're reading is as close to the original Word of God as absolutely possible. Now, that's why in our ministry we have a lady that has over 30 years of Aramaic Bible study under her belt. She is a great scholar of the Aramaic Bible. Well, why the Aramaic? Well, that was the language Jesus spoke. She showed me proof that literally there's a good chance that was Adam's and Eve's language. Isn't that amazing? And I'm not trying to throw a plug in here, just a challenge for you to check it out. Because he named the stars in Aramaic. The names, except for the ones that have been polluted in the last 100 years or better of astronomy, or astrology, I mean, but are Aramaic names. Now, what is Aramaic? It was a Hebrew tongue. That's like in Germany you have, and we have a German brother here. You had the High German and the Low German, right? Ah! No, that's the wrong language. But see, Jesus spoke the common Hebrew tongue. And the Bible was not originally written in Greek. One of the problems that we're getting into in the Holy Spirit field, and it's amazing, I heard things said here, I go, ooh. Because I really, I won't touch that, but the thing about it is that the Greek language is based on mythology. Mythology is a religion. Be careful, okay? And yet, it's a wonderful language, but it has this religion. You know what religion is? Religion is a lie. Religion is man's effort to bring God down to their level. We call it humanism and all kinds of things, okay? I don't know why I went this direction, but it's not where I meant to go, but that's a challenge for you to check out, okay? And you have the right to disagree with me. It's okay. But the Word of God is so important that God sent His Son. One of the reasons He sent His Son on this earth was to be the living Word of God. When you read about Jesus, you're reading about God's Word living. That day on Calvary, when He got nailed to the tree, God's living Word was nailed to that tree. God risked it all. God elevated in Psalms, it says He elevated, enlarged His Word above His name. God's name! And we're messing with it, see? Let's be careful, all right? It's so powerful, but yet it's fragile in our understanding of it if we're not careful. But God enlarged His Word above His name. And it's, what is it? It's 138th Psalm, I think. 38th? I'll have to look it up. But He did, okay? And then He sent His Word living. Jesus is the living Word. The day that Jesus died, and it was not, it was 72 hours, because by law it had to be 72 hours, okay? There's 24 hours in a day. So you figure out when he gave His life, and it wasn't Good Friday, okay? But absolutely it couldn't have been, because see, the Jewish day, by the way, folks, I don't know why I'm going here, but I guess it's supposed to. I said, let the Lord lead me. The Jewish day started at sunset. When Jesus said, it is finished, it was sunset. When Jesus got up, if you're going to have a sunrise service, have it at sunset, because that's when He rose.
That's right.
Okay? And I'm not trying to get disputing anybody. It's in the Word of God. And hey, it's not only fact, it's the truth upon the fact.
Right.
I mean, it's nailed down. But the bottom line is, so Saturday night is when Jesus got up. Well, it said they came the first day of the week. And, you know, you don't go to the cemetery at night. Most of us don't do that, see? Doesn't bother me, but some people. And so that, but the, so there's a lot of things happened between there and in the morning when they started showing up at that grave. But the thing about it is, the Word of God, literally, God challenged Satan. Satan challenges, can't challenge God, brother. He challenges you. And you and you and you. But God challenged Satan. He said, okay, my word is dead. Give it your best shot. The darkest time the earth has ever seen was not in the dark ages. It was that 72 hours that God's Word lay dead. D-E-A-D. He didn't travel anywhere. He was dead, okay? When God's Word got up, and that isn't all Jesus, but I just, that He is, but I'm trying to emphasize something about our Lord Jesus. When He got out of that grave, my dear brothers and dear sisters, the Word of God got up. And all of Satan's power was totally defeated. When He got out of that grave, He got up, and Christ is the resurrected one. That's the anointed one. It says, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Guess what that means? The anointed one's in you, sister. Quit messing around. Quit waiting for an anointing. Good Lord, and He is good. But you got Christ in you, the hope of glory. That's the Word of God that got out of the grave. And we got it, folks. You know, that's why it says, study to show thyself approved, a workman that needeth not be ashamed. Rightly dividing the Word of God. And yet, see, we got, in Christianity camps, we got the Word only. God showed me a vision one time about this. I had more than one, praise God, I hope for more. But He showed me this road, and the ditches were paved. And the road was rough, and I thought, what's going on here, you know? And hey, when you get a vision or a dream, ask Him first. Don't go run to the dream interpreter. Okay, He'll give you the interpretation. But anyway, and He said, He says, this is what's happened to Christianity. He says, this ditch over here, a good road has a ditch so that the water drains off and it doesn't get full of ruts and everything, okay? But he said, this ditch over here is the Word only. And before I could ask him about the other one, he says, the Holy Ghost only. Well, see, Jesus said you have the Spirit and the Word, right? If you're going to be on that road, it's the Spirit and the Word. Okay? And so the Word of God is very important. But praise God, Jesus is our Lord, and He better be. You know, and we better keep working on it. Because it can erode so easily. We can get so caught up in the tradition of our Christianity. The tradition, those of us that are ministers, the tradition of our ministry. If we're not doing it because we love God, if you're not here because you love God, then get out or change your mind. Please change your mind. But that's get the full benefit. If we do what we do because we love God, then we are going to greatly benefit from it. See, because now abideth faith, hope, and love, these three, and the greatest is what? Love. Always, in every situation. Always, in every situation. When we spank our child, it's got to be done in love, or Satan's going to enter in and encourage and reinforce rebellion. So when we correct and reprove one another, we got to have that same heart. It's got to be the heart of love. You know, last night, brother shared about what he experienced with death. But it was all love, too, wasn't it? Absolutely. That's the thing I've seen. And how you shared it, brother, you shared it with such love. I mean, it was amazing, see? And that's why he has the power. It's not the experience that he has that has the power. It was the love in that experience. And that has changed because you've continued. You refuse to let people make a big shot out of you. You have done it with humility to the Lord Jesus Christ and love to the people he spoke to. I'll tell you what, there was an invitation last night. I have never experienced one like that, and I'm not trying to put down any, including the one that drew me in the first place. But it was because of the love. And how many years you've been doing that? Enough if you could have made a tradition out of it. Yeah. And it definitely touches all our lives, see, because of the love in it. So when you're ministering in any category, anywhere, anytime, any place, do it with love. Even if you've got to correct and get after somebody. Because, see, love is strong, you know, but it is not overbearing and crushing. See, and I want to share about something, and I may, you know, hopefully Glenn's going to give me another time to share, because I might have to do this in two pieces. I'm not going to try to keep you here, okay? I get another chance, right? You got it. You know, it's called job security. I'm sure glad that Glenn loves me. I'm glad that you love me. But a curse, what is a curse? I guess get back to the dictionary, you know. Anyway, that extra was no extra charge. So because you didn't pay for it, you can pitch it if you want, but I hope you don't. But a curse is to wish. It's interesting, King James, 3 John 2, it says, I wish above all things that thou may prosper and be in health. See, you know, it's not when you wish upon a star. You know. Okay? I mean, wish is a very powerful thing. Okay? But anyway, and this is the Webster's 1928 definition, to utter a wish of evil against someone or to call for mischief or for an injury that can cause one to fall is to vex, arrest, torment somebody into and with great calamity. Okay, that was Webster's definition, 1928 dictionary, okay? That's what a curse is. So it's all around words. I've taught on this subject for a lot of years. In fact, it's in 49 states and several countries. And not just on the curse, but to turn curses to blessings. But a curse starts with words. So does blessings. Words we speak, you know. We've heard in this wonderful camp, every time I have come here, you know, it's one of the things that's included. Everybody that has shared has talked about the power of words one way or another. My brother, when he was in the circumstance last night that he was sharing with us, he had to speak. He had to make a decision, and he had to speak. God, see, those are the kind of things I'm listening. I'm going, yeah, this really happened. Yeah, this really happened. See, because the word that we hide in our heart, yeah, you can check things real quick. And I would just go, click, 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 click. You know, this man's speaking the truth. And every time his truth came a little stronger, my ears got a little bigger, and they're big already. But the bottom line is that because, see, God spoke everything into existence with words. Don't you ever think the words you speak, you got an atomic mouth. Be careful who you're blowing up. Don't blow up your brothers and sisters or yourself. We talked about some of that a while ago, okay? Don't speak against yourself. And that's why you have to put the past behind. Because in the past, you have been demanded by parents, teachers, friends, and enemies, and yourself, to perform. We as Christians don't perform. The praise this morning was not performing. I wish the praisers was here, but they're all gone. I'm going to compliment them anyway. But you know what? It's right. They're working. But I want you to realize something. The reason that praise was so powerful is they weren't performing. See, they were worshiping. They were pouring out from their heart. You know, I get up and leave when I go into church, and they're praising their worship and worshiping their praise and they're performing. I don't care how important they are in their mind or anything else. And even if I'm the speaker, I go to the bathroom or something and pray. See? But when the praise is pure, then you're giving with love out of your heart. Because those were words that were being spoken. You know, so many times, people, the praise they're singing is a vow. And people are just blindly singing it. They have no intention of keeping it. And you're cursing yourself. Don't you make a promise to God that, I didn't say that you won't break. But don't you make a promise to God you don't mean to keep, okay? Point to all of us. All right? Even if it's singing. One of the things that's destroying Christianity today is the music that's being sung. You come in and the room is already full of Christians that are just full of the Holy Ghost, or if you don't like that, Holy Spirit. But, you know, and then they're sitting and, come Holy Spirit, come. And they just keep repeating it. And what's it doing? It's building doubt of the Christ in you, the hope of glory. Man, when the two of you come together and three of you, He's in your midst. I can't explain it, but I'll tell you one thing. I've seen it time and again. That Christ in you comes up. And there's a power that's there. You don't have to invite Him in. It's His show. He's there. Let's give thanksgiving for the greatness of the Spirit of God. You know, and another one. You know, in the 60s, and I'm a war baby. I'm not a boomer. And because of that, I watched the boomers. And they were just, you know, kids like 1 or 2 years, and they just were different. I remember a good friend of mine, and I was still good friends. And we couldn't figure out what's going on with these kids. Well, it was the curses that was on them. But see, the thing about it is that it's because of words that were spoken. You know, and it was because of things that we did during the war that we didn't repent of. You know, so let's not get so caught up in all the things that we have said. See, the problem with the holiness movement, and it's good, but it has a problem. Okay? And that is that you pay too much attention to your problems. Okay? You're always trying to find your sin. But don't you think that your Father, who loves you so much, that sent His Son to suffer, and He wasn't a pretty little thing on the cross with three trickles of blood, with a shiny bowl behind His head. You couldn't even recognize Him. That's what it says in Psalms. All right? God paid such a price for you, He's doing everything He can to bring you all the way through. Take confidence in that, okay? Take confidence in your Father. Take confidence in the Lord Jesus Christ having done such a job, paying, knowing full well exactly what He had to face. Remember, Jesus was the living Word, right? He knew every prophecy about him. Now, he didn't carry the cross to Calvary. Read your Bible. Simon the Cyrenian carried that cross. Jesus fought. I've talked to him about this. And yes, you can talk to him. And he talks to you if you'd listen. Those of you who say I've never heard because you don't listen. But he told me, he said, that night, you can say I'm crazy, and, you know, I don't care what you say, but he told me that night they killed him so many times he lost count. But he says, I held on because they could not take my life. It was mine to give. And he said, I held on to that life. He said, I held on to that life because if I didn't get to the cross, you wouldn't be free of your curse. So I gave my blood. My blood was being spilt. My body was being torn and tortured. The healing, I could have quit. I could have settled for you being healed. I could have died for your sins and you could have salvation. But he says, if I wasn't nailed, I had to make it. He even called me by my first name. It's Carl. He said, Carl, if I hadn't held on till I got to the cross, you wouldn't be free of your curses. And one of Satan's greatest lies is the lie that Christians cannot be cursed. And I'm not going to get into that. Somebody just covered it a day or so ago. Get all the tape. But they're worth listening to again. But you know what? Don't live your life in fear of missing it. God invested everything to get you through. You know, we talked earlier that she'd like the teaching about keeping your eye on Jesus. And the problem is that's a near truth. You know what? Stand up, brother, please.
Can you keep your eyes on me?
Yeah. See, when you get real close to the Lord, you can't keep your eyes on Him anymore, okay? That's seek to have a better relationship than just our looking at. All right? See, it's all about relationship. You know what deliverance is? It's relationship. See? Hallelujah. What a shame that it isn't happening everywhere. What a shame that it has to be separated away so the body of Christ can go back, set free, to go back into those places. But, hallelujah, it's being done. Praise God for this place. God, please protect this place. But anyway, what is a blessing? Would you like to hear what a blessing is? Okay, this is sweet. It says to pronounce a wish of happiness to someone. See, it's the words again. To set apart for holy purposes, to praise and or glorify God or the Lord Jesus Christ, to speak God's goodness one to another. So don't say, you know, let's break a habit. That's just say, don't say bless you anymore. Let's say God bless you, okay? In fact, let's take it all the way to the heat. God bless you in the name of Jesus Christ. There's one that can never be broken. If you hold on to that one, you can wave it to me in eternity. That's power, see? We have the authority and the power. In the Old Testament, just the priests and the special ones could speak a blessing. A father could speak it before his death over his sons. You can say, God bless you in the name of Jesus Christ to anybody you choose. Isn't that something? And if they don't cast it out and throw it away, they've got it with them forever. And a blessing has power. You know, when you remove a curse off from somebody, always speak a blessing in there. Always speak a blessing. Years ago when I first started doing this, I had no idea anybody was doing that. And anyway, it amazed me. I had calls, people call me. We do seminars. We really do it when I go in and we do a seminar. We do a seminar and we start. And if you got to go to the bathroom, sneak back there and go. We don't take breaks until it's taught, and it's never taught the same twice. I've done it hundreds of times. And then we start ministering. And if we got to stay there for 20 hours, we don't care. But people get set free. But you know, there was people I didn't see a change in. And sometimes in deliverance, we're trying to force the change. Make sure that's flesh. Be sure if that person's already set free and you're still trying to cast something out that you didn't see leave, you open the door for something else to get in. Okay? And it's such a powerful thing. What? Get the tape. I don't know if I repeat it because God gave it to me. If you are ministering to somebody and you didn't see that spirit leave or you're not aware it left, don't keep casting it out if it's already gone. See, if you're in relationship with God, He's going to let you know. We do it by revelation, folks. not by following the sheet of instruction. Okay? We need the sheet of instruction to teach us. I'm not criticizing that. But we need to learn to hear the Spirit of the Lord. But the bottom line is that we can set people free, but we can put them back in bondage by trying to cast something out that's not there, because then doubt enters in. So that's walk careful. You know, it's about being so close to the Lord that you can feel His heartbeat. See? That's what, you know, everything is about relationship. You read in Genesis, chapter 3, Adam and Eve got cursed, Satan got cursed. You know, and when I see a sick cow, and I pray for sick cows, I love to see, I've seen sick dogs get up that were dying, you know. You know, I mean, you know, we have authority on this earth. But I frequently would tell cows, you know, New Mexico has a lot of cattle, and we have this little cabin that's 48 miles away from our house, takes 2 hours to get there. It's mountains, okay? And I never get bored. The drive is great, too. But I'll see some cows, and we're in our seventh year drought, and the picking gets pretty short in those pastures. Sometimes I just bless those cows I'm driving by. And I tell them, I understand, but don't feel so cursed and be long-faced, because Satan is more cursed than you. It's in the book of Genesis. All right? See, speak these things. You know, so I'm crazy. Well, I am peculiar, okay? But, you know, if you don't speak it, you won't believe it. If you don't speak it, you won't remember it. You know, I remember one time I had an Indian tell me how you can walk up on a deer. He says, my ancestors, those arrows were crooked. We'd have starved if we didn't learn something. They learned the power of speaking, American Indians. And so I've done it. He says, a deer is curious. Try this, you guys. But, you know, so these two deer, they're standing, they're startled, their ears go up. I stop, but they're very spooked. So I just spoke, and I said, God bless you, deer. You're welcome on my land. You are welcome here. I might eat you someday, but today you're safe. But I just spoke, but I spoke with love. And I'd love to eat them, you know. But I grew up on venison. But what I did is I changed my shape, just like the Indians taught me to do that. And as you're coming up, they are so mesmerized. See, that's what Satan tries to do to us. But you can mesmerize a deer, and you can get close enough, I could have hit it with a stick. But see, the reason is, words have power. People that say I can't, they won't. People that say I won't, can't. People that say I can, will. People that says I will, they can. See, words make a difference. But considering, I don't work with notes very often, especially my own, but okay, here's the other thing that the Lord showed me from this definition. And I don't have just, I have jest, so that threw me off. But my typewriter made a mistake, right? Okay, but just as we can set something or somebody apart for holy purposes, that's a blessing. We can do the same thing in cursing people and set them aside for unholy purposes. You know? And I forgive my father, and God bless my father, God bless his memory. But so many times he called me a little bastard. And he didn't know any different. See, the curse was never broken. That hardness that came from Ireland, surviving the tyranny of the English, the starving, the land being cursed to where you couldn't even eat the potatoes anymore. And most of my ancestors was hung on the yardarms of ships. They didn't even take them down, they're dead. They just waited until they decayed enough, their heads popped off. See? And so there was a bitterness that came with this thing. And even though I was a Christian and a minister, I fought this thing for so long. But when I realized the devastation of words, first thing I had to do is repent. Okay? And break the authority of those words, and then I had to forgive my dad. And I had to forgive my grandfather because I realized he set my dad up into this. See, this is how generational curses work. Okay? And there was a lot more stuff as I started working on it. God showed me that my ancestors on my father's side were, I never can even say it right, and I'm Celtic, but I always say Druids, but the Druidish priests, and they did human sacrifice. But getting rid of those things, because those were, they spoke words intended for evil and destruction. They dedicated. When something is dedicated to evil, it's in the Bible, you look it up, I don't have it with me, but when things are dedicated to evil, you can never make it good. I'm talking about an object, okay? When I broke the curse off this little girl that night in Bucharest that had cried, 5 years old, and for 2.5 years she had cried. Now, this is a rich family. He was in the parliament, you know, he'd like to be the U.S. Senate. And grandma was a good Christian, so was her kids, but her husband just claimed to be. But the thing about it was they asked me if I would go there. It was supposed to be my night off, and we'd been there for 3 weeks, and I really need the night off, but there was a need, so I said, okay. And I really wasn't doing it with love as I was going over there. In a way, I was just so tired, you know, I was just complaining to the Lord. I said, you know, if I'm dead, what would they do? You know, what are they going to do, kick me and tell me to get up? And, you know, and then I got over my pity party, and he forgave me. But I get there, and here's this big villa, and it has a living room about half this size of this auditorium. And in there are these, this is when we had the big unity movement going on in America. We're going to unify, and everybody's expecting everybody else to give up everything in their doctrines, but not them any. Unity of spirit and the bond of peace has nothing to do with doctrine. Read it, Ephesians 4. But anyway, as God, I refuse to talk to these guys, okay? You know? I don't want nothing to do with them. I'm sick of them here in America, and I'm sick of them here. And but I didn't even speak to them, you know. And they're standing up, shake hands. I walked right past them. That wasn't love. I know I had to ask for forgiveness. But they took me back, and here's this pretty little girl. And she literally, coming down from her eyes, her skin was raw. From never being dry, tears flowing. And, you know, and I just... any hardness I had in my heart just melted, I can tell you. I'm a sucker for kids. But anyway, what happened was when I prayed for her and I commanded that curse on her to be broken in the name of Jesus Christ, unbeknownst to me, out in the other room, there's a big object on a table in the corner, and the object blew up. Okay? Now, I've never had that ever happen before or since, but it blew up. It blew up so hard, the tabletop exploded. There's more details about it in my book, if there's any of them left. But anyway, what happened was this little girl was a little five-year-old girl again. But this man had been given this object, and it was intended for evil, and was brought into his house. It jumped on this granddaughter. See? So when something is intended for evil, no good can come from it. I'm not talking about people. I'm talking about objects, okay? This is really true. Why do you have so much chaos at, quote-unquote, forgive me, Glenn, Christmas time? You know, everybody calls it Christmas time. Christmas time. Okay. But you know what they put on their door? A wreath. You know what that wreath was dedicated to? The original. It was dedicated to evil. And it was I forget what the god of winter was, but it was an offering. And to permit, through this opening, to permit the change of season to come into that home. Huh? The winter solstice, but there was a name for the god. But anyway, the thing about it is, that's why they do Christmas at the change of the season. Okay? You know, come on, none of these things are happening by accident. But the thing about it is that wreath on that door, evil's walking right in. Wham! That's tearing up families. Suicides. All these devils are coming in. If you got them, burn them. I shared this in Richmond, Virginia, and we were staying with the pastor and his wife in their home, and I prefer to stay with Christians rather than hotels. I really do. And anyway, I taught this, and I got home, and she said, Carl, why don't you go down to the basement? And I said, okay. And then she says, you taught this. This woman had probably 100 wreaths in her house. She made them and collected them. And they're being thrown down the stairway. She says, burn them. So I'm down there, and they got a wood stove in that basement. And boy, we got a fire going. But we just got a letter. We hadn't heard from them for years. Then we get a great letter from them just last month or so, you know. And it changed their life. You know, cursed objects, be careful. And cursed objects usually come in as gifts Because, see, Satan likes to bastardize love. A bastard means no father, okay? And it's a real pollution. Because God designed everything to have a father. He's a family. He's our father. He's our daddy. But literally, that's how these things get into our house. I've taken away one time, and we had great need in Romania, and I had at least 10 ounces of pure gold in my hand. The lady said, take it out of my house. I said, no, I'm not going to be accused of stealing by any devil spirit. That's my car. It's not locked. You laid it all in there in a pile. And I'm looking at that stuff, and I'm thinking, God reminded me it's been dedicated to evil. I said, so how do you destroy gold? He said, when you cross the Rio Grande, stop, walk out on the bridge, and just whip it. So that's what I did. He said, I'll never find it in that muck. But here was, gold at that time was about $480 an ounce. That was throwing $4,000 or $5,000 over the bridge. But see, didn't hurt us a bit. That man got set free, and they were all tokens. He was the very upper crust of the Masons. And because he walked by a church, a Catholic church, he grew up as a Catholic, and the Spirit of God convicted him. He went in to repent, and the only way he knew is he went into one of those little telephone booths where God isn't on the other end of the telephone. But anyway, but he went in there, and he repented of his sins. He came out, and there's two guys that were right there. It happened in Mexico City. There's two guys that were right there, and they said, you have no right. You cannot go into a church. You know it's forbidden for you of this level of masonry. And he told them, he says, I'm free, man, and you can't tell me what to do. He went home, went to bed. His wife heard him go, whoa! And a devil had come in and got him. The back of our head is somewhat round. His was the exact opposite. It literally caved in the back of his head. And when I was called in, the minister, he was in a coma in the bed, and he'd been in the hospitals. They sent him home to die. And they heard about me and asked if I would come, and I did. But anyway, that man in the deep coma he was in, when he realized that the Spirit of God was right there, he reached for my hand and kissed it. I let him do that, and I don't agree with that stuff, okay? But God works with you where you're at, okay? Because he don't pollute himself doing that. But I realized, and a pastor was with me, started grabbing me, I said, just leave this alone. And then I had explained to him later, because he thought I was kooky. But anyway, and the guy got some relief, but not what we expected. So the next thing that happened was I went out and I told the lady, I should get rid of that Mary thing in that bathtub in your backyard because it's cursed. You want curses, you just keep that thing. It's called a Madonna, a cheap one. They use an old bathtub and paint it gold, But and she said, here when we came. I said, I don't care. I said, if you want God's blessings, you asked me to come in here, and I'm speaking straight because I don't have a lot of time to convince you. But I said, a sledgehammer would do that thing real good. And she said, how about if I sell it? I said, you want to pass the curse? So they destroyed it. Boy, did the family scream about that one. But anyway, and then none of them have been to church for probably in their life over twice. But anyway, and then I said, there's other stuff in this house. She said, it's in his office. Go through his office. I said, I can't just do that. You have to be with me. And we found all these little things, and they were rewards and awards and things that he got as he'd made the levels. But when we got those things out of his house, this man recovered. Okay, the battle wasn't over, but he recovered. See, if you remove the foundation of evil, the root of evil isn't always in the person. When you're running into something, ask God about what's in their house. Sometimes it's an object that's on them. But I'm talking experiences, and I want to teach you some Bible. So forgive me. I got a question for you. What is the reason for fruit? Huh? To feed? Glory to God. Got any more? Come on, are you guys awake? Yeah, fruit. I talk funny, excuse me. Fruit, F-R-U-I-T. To eat it, okay? It's a good answer, huh? Got any other? Huh? Wine? Communion wine, yeah. Okay. Bless God and others. Huh? You got it! You know, it's in Genesis, and this morning I started to look for it, and I didn't find it. And I meant to go, when you got in your computer program, I was going to ask you to go there. But where it's talking about, you know, in the very start of Genesis, but it says fruit after its own kind. The reason for fruit is to reproduce. Okay? Well, of course you feed on it. Right? See, a fool eats the seed, and then he can't plant a crop. But the reason for fruit, so go to Galatians 5. I promise to let you have lunch. Okay. Didn't say which day, did we? Okay. Verse 19, it says, verse 18, you just can't get in this without realizing. It says, but if you're led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. Led by the Spirit. What's the main thing is love? Okay. See, you can't say if you're unloving that you're being led by the Spirit of God. We sung about God didn't give you a spirit of fear. He didn't give you a spirit of hate either. And what's not love is hate. But it says, now the works of the flesh are manifest. You know, they show. Which are these? Adultery, fornication. I know we had a teaching on this yesterday. Uncleanliness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulation, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and the such, of which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, you can go all the way to Genesis on this, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. All right, I'm not going to get into the doctrine of if you do that, you can't go to heaven. It says inherit the kingdom of God. You figure that out, all right? Okay, but seriously, look at it. It says you cannot inherit the kingdom of God. No inheritance. You know, the reading of the will, and you're left out. Okay? Inheritance. Okay? If you're doing those things, you cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Thank God for 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But if you... Let's go to 1 John. You can put your fingers there in Galatians. Probably told you too late. But if we confess our sins, He, God, is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness, including those very works of the flesh. Can Christians do those? Yes, they can. If you say you haven't, good time to spend some time on your knees. Because it says He'll cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And if we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar. And His word is not in us. This is serious, folks. Denying that we've sinned, then we have to face judgment for that sin. Who do you think is manipulating in your heart and mind to deny that sin? Jesus? Satan, yes. Okay? It says if we confess our sins, He's faithful. But if we don't, we're a liar. And then chapter 2, verse 1, should be verse 11 of chapter 1, really, because we have a chapter in the middle of context. Okay? Because it says, my little children. See, He just spanked us. And then Daddy draws us back. He spanks us when we need it, see? Just like a loving father would do. But when He sees that our hearts have changed, He pulls us right in. And God is so wonderful. Here He's saying, my little children, these things I write unto you that you sin not. And if you sin, or when you sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. See, it's not about how we live our life totally. It's an important thing. But see, religion makes it how you live your life determines everything. That's not true. It's your relationship with Jesus. The more you learn to love Him and hug right in there, you can't even see each other, you hate evil. I mean, evil gets so distasteful, it's like, poof, you're spitting it out instead of swallowing it. Okay? It's all about relationship. And He is the propitiation, the payment for our sins, and not ours only, but also the sins of the whole world. Well, we know there's enough there for the whole world. They ain't taking it. But the tragedy is, are we getting the benefit of this, folks? And hereby we know that we know Him if we keep His commandments. Well, this is part of His commandments, is not to sin, because He knows you're going to. Let's strive to be as godly as we can, really. But that's do it in love. And as soon, you know, if you're thinking maybe I sinned, you know what? Don't take a chance. You can't overdose on forgiveness. All right? Just go to the Father. And Satan will say, brother, he'll try to save you, brother. You've been to him 40 times with this thing. What makes you think you have a right to ask him to forgive you again? Give me a break. Has that ever happened to you? You better believe it. Well, guess what? He's a liar. Go ahead. You go to God and you ask him to forgive you. And then you ask him, Father, how many times have I been to you with this? You say, what? I don't know what you're talking about. He does throw it in the sea of forgetfulness. You know, one of the tricks that we're taught, sacred cows. I love to shoot sacred cows. One of the sacred cows is, repentance is you're not going to do it again. Well, that would be wonderful then. Whew, we've never repented. See, repentance, we intend never to do it again. But we will sometimes sin. I had somebody tell me to get off the platform for teaching this teacher. But he wasn't the pastor, so I just ignored him. But the thing about it is that I'm not encouraging sin. I'm encouraging relationship. That relationship, you know what? Your relationship hurts when you sin. It's the first hint that you've sinned. Well, instead of condemning yourself and, oh, Lord, what do I got to do to get back? Just say, I'm sorry. You know, but God, I've done this so many times. Yeah, but you know what he's trying to do? He's trying to get you to say, Father, please help me. You have not because you ask not. Father, help me overcome this sin. See, you can do a lot of deliverance on yourself right there. He is all in all. And unfortunately, we're not permitting that. We let him be in part. But he wants to be all in all. You know, you've all received great deliverance. Live in that deliverance. And when the Satan tries to convince you you haven't, or somebody has got a revelation, make sure it's from the right spirit instead of a familiar one that's familiar with your whole deliverance. And try to put you through it again. You've been through it, hold on to it. All right? And if you've slipped from it, ask the Father, give me the strength to overcome. He put an overcoming spirit in you. Can you say, I have an overcoming spirit?
I have an overcoming spirit.
What?
I have an overcoming spirit.
Believe it. See, he did not give you the spirit of failure. Somebody is a songwriter. Please, write a song about, you know, we got one about he didn't give us the spirit of fear. That's right, one about he didn't give me the spirit of failure. When we sin, it's a failure of Satan when he fell. And he's trying to share his evil. That's hold on to the relationship. Because, see, if we don't, we have seed of that fruit of the flesh. That's how you get rid of curses. That's how you get deliverance, is you get the crop failure for those seeds of that fruit of the flesh. Okay? That's what deliverance is all about. When we do deliverance, we're going after those seed and destroy them so that they cannot continue to grow a crop. All right? And see, on the blessed side, we go on, it says, but the fruit of the Spirit, and quite obviously, both of them gives the fruit of the Spirit. Question is, which one? Okay? But Galatians 5:22, it says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love. Always love, see? You know, years ago, and those of you who heard me preach this, forgive me, I'm going to do it again. But I asked God, you need to show me. I need to understand this fruit of the Spirit stuff. You need to show me. You know, because I've looked at the 9 gifts of the Spirit, the 9 fruit of the Spirit, and intellectually I'm trying to figure this one out. You know, hey, it's not numbers ain't my business. I'm not in numerology because that's from the wrong side. But numbers are significant. But anyway, and he showed me. I was a contractor then. I was a full-time minister and a full-time contractor. So here's 9 white paint, 5-gallon paint buckets. And here's a spout coming out. Spirit of God. It is like a fountain and the water's flowing. And the first bucket was love. And is it filled? Yeah, and a vision takes a long time to explain, and they have a... That's a long vision. It amazes me. I'll be driving in traffic and get one. But anyway, is love filled up, it's filled in the teeth, right? The second one, right? Joy, okay. That's why it didn't click for me. Okay, but joy starts filling, see? But he says the warning is, if you're going to have all those fruit, first of all, you got to keep loving. But see, the fruit of the Spirit is not like the Dead Sea. The Dead Sea is dead because it doesn't give. No outlet. It's the same thing with the fruit of the Spirit. See, the fruit of the Spirit produces. So if you don't keep loving and if you don't keep filling it on the top end, it's going to go dry. See, love has got to be there in everything. Well, you know, we minister to one another and we can minister the seeds of joy. Joy of the Lord is our strength. It's real important. Or peace. You know, because, you know, the seas, God says, keep the seas calm today. Right? See, that's a big ship can get right into the harbor. But see, we need that. And you know what? In order to have peace, to have love. Why do you think love is so attacked? Why do you think it's so perverted and perverse? So counterfeited? There's more songs written about love that are wrong than probably any other subject. You know, and the only way you can make them right is play them backwards, right? That's how you fix this country music, you know. Your dog comes back. Your truck that was stolen is returned. You know, you just play it backwards. But it's not that simple, see? There's a love, my dear brothers and sisters, is what you do or you don't do. And one of the definitions of the word hate, because you're not loving, you're hating. And this one, when God hit me with this one, you know, it was like, you know, for days I was in shock. He said, hatred is indifference, Carl. Because that's how I dealt with religious people. I don't have a problem with worldly people. They don't know Jesus. But these religious clowns that know Jesus and want to stick with their traditions. And the way I was dealing with them, I wasn't loving them, I was hating them. Because I just got indifferent. Now, you don't believe that? Okay, all right. Or I'd argue with them. That's indifference, see? Indifference. Just being indifferent is hatred, folks. And it says, if you want to keep reading 1 John, 2 John, right on through, it's all about love, it's all about fellowship. But if you don't love, you hate, okay? If you hate, you're a murderer. And there goes that inheritance issue again, okay? So, remember, the reason for fruit is for seed. Satan will protect the fruit of the flesh. He will make sure those seeds are properly dried and preserved. And he'll even deliver them. And he'll prepare the field for them to be planted, folks. You have the ability to speak the words of life. Do you hear me? The words of life. You can do everything Jesus done and greater, right, sis? Because he went to the Father. Jesus said, anything whatsoever you ask the Father in my name, that I will do it. So you can build a ministry on your miracle. No. But some people do that. But he says that the Father received the glory. He said, anything whatsoever you ask the Father in my name, I will do it, that the Father gets the glory. You know, some people start out and they're seeing great miracles and everything, and then they stop and then they live on their path. You know, and there's all kinds of traps. I used to get these letters all the time, still do, for people, and I tell them about all the miracles that happened at a conference and stuff, and I used to keep them. Now I throw them away. I praise God and I throw them away. You know why? Because that's a file of the past. You know? And I realized that could make me not stay fresh with my expectations. I'm not saying I'm right or wrong, but for me it's right, okay? But you know what an expert is? It's a spurt out of your past. And we have all these biblical experts. Hey, the best we can be is honest students. And we got to keep learning the word, all right? You know, the past is not supposed to have any authority. You know, put it behind, keep moving. That's what Paul said, right? You know, that's what rewards are about. But anyway, that's the reason for fruit. And the reason I'm talking about this, folks, see, that's what deliverance is all about. Let's get rid of the bad fruit of the flesh, okay? That's remove those seeds. Some of them are roots. But when we're looking for the root of bitterness, as an example, let's make sure as we're in there that we're not leaving some seeds. Okay? And see, these things come by revelation. Revelation from God is from listening to God. And it's about relationship with Him. See, God has called us to a relationship. We have all these shrines to the past. Well, I like history too. But, you know, let's keep it in perspective. You know, there's no place on this property. You know, this is not the Glenn Miller building. Did you notice that? Huh? Why? Because he wants the glory to go to God. I look at that, you know, when I go to minister somewhere. Because those are signs of things that maybe have to be dealt with. But if we're going to give the glory to God, don't hold any back. Brother Clement yesterday was talking about 99.9. Is he the one that was talking about that yesterday? Well, see, if you leave that one-ninth or that little portion that you don't totally commit, that's where Satan's going to enter in. See? And, you know, it amazes me, and here's another one, sacred cow, and I usually get somebody mad when I say this, but I'm going to say it. God love me, it's the commandment of the Lord. You know, it amazes me how denominations that one time believed in healing build hospitals and put their name on it. You know, hey, one of them that has a lot of them, that's where I got born again, and I'm very thankful. But it's a tragedy. And you know, hospitals that are corporations outside of religious 501(c)(3)s, you know, blah, blah, blah. Those are the kind where they ask me to leave. You know, it's really unhealthy for business for people to get healed when you're in the sickness business. Sometimes you got to use the name of Jesus Christ. I'm here in the name of Jesus Christ, and I come to minister, and in the name of Jesus Christ, I'm saying, because those devils are trying to stop you. This man was dying anyway, but he had good insurance, so he had all this equipment in you. And he was hopeless. He had so much pressure on his brain. What's the pressure on the brain supposed to be, like 12 at the most, and that's a danger sign? I don't remember, but I was learning this day because this expert was telling me that didn't want me there. Well, you got to watch all these meters, but there was all these things they had to watch. He says, this man's brain went up to 280 with the pressure. He says, he shouldn't have been alive. And I'm thinking to myself, between me and Lord, there's a reason for this. And they'd taken a piece of his skull out and froze it. Just in case he lived, they could put it back on. You know, I guess, hey, like parts is parts. But anyway, so she told me all these things. So I just listened very intently. Because what I'd done was, as I prayed, I commanded these things to go back. She showed me where the safe zone was. Nothing was in the safe zone. It was all beyond. And so, say to that mountain. So I commanded the pressure against his brain to go back to normal. And I went like that. And there was another believer with me. And they're watching her going like that. That needle moved right over. Is that witchcraft? No, that's the power of God. See, if you believe when you speak, you are speaking for the Father, and you're doing it in love, and you're missing the mark, He's going to help you get past that. But we just literally, each one of those things. And then she said, come in. She said, that's enough. You got to leave. Because there it was. I don't know why God healed this man. You know what he went right back to? Being a drunkard. I don't understand, but God knows. It sure made a difference for his sister. This man was a famous military man. New Mexico has a lot of retired military. And he was, because he was an officer, anything that man needed, they were giving him. And he was in the hospital in Albuquerque because they couldn't get him down to, you know, the medical facilities. And they had him at the very best place and everything like that. But anyway, the good thing is, you know, last I heard, he's still alive. So he's, you know, and this has been a few years. But the thing about it was that, see, God, we've got to remember that as we speak, but we've got to realize we have all these traditions. It's not our job to fight in. We have to go right in the midst of them. They were going to take Jesus out and stone him. After all, how could a bastard speak in the temple? And they were really offended. They believed that's what he was. He had to live under that reputation because it's a terrible curse that has to be dealt with. But anyway, he literally walked right through them, right amongst them, and they couldn't find him to take and stone him. He just kind of... you know, he's having a good time. You know, there should have been a verse in the Bible, Jesus laughed. I know he laughed. I knew his heart was full of joy. And when he seen the enemy destroyed, in every attempt the enemy made, he knew the day was going to come that he had to let the enemy win for a season. But see, he didn't fight the system. He just moved right through it. And that's what we need to ask God when we're in those situations. But the reason, Deuteronomy 23, the reason that I got into that seed thing, because it has a lot to do with deliverance. Okay? But, you know, seeds can last hundreds of years. They found seeds that are hundreds of years old, and there's a bean that you can buy now called the Anasazi bean. The Anasazi Indians, they found a stash of those beans in New Mexico. And now they've grown enough of them that they're eating them and everything else. You buy them in the store. They're not as good as pinto beans, but the thing about it is that that bean, see, that seed can be stored for a long time. That's part of the generational curse. Okay? Those seeds of that bad fruit that wasn't repented of and destroyed, those seeds, Satan is protecting those seeds to plant and generations coming down the road. The verse 23:1 chapter 23, verse 1. He that is wounded in the stones, and you all know what that is, right? Or has his privy members cut off, okay? Shall not enter into the congregation of the Lord. The reason was is because he couldn't produce any seed. Adam and Eve was told to go replenish the earth, right? See, Satan has got such a hold on the world, and this nation included. This nation, the last time I figured it out, every 22 seconds, a baby is sacrificed in the womb. Every 22 seconds, the last time. So they figured out how many had been done that year, and I took my calculator and worked it down to seconds. This is a terrible thing, folks, because of the commandment to replenish. So it isn't just an issue of the murder and the killing. It's defying God. Serious. Any of you have had an abortion, you make sure that you've repented of it. If you've recommended it to anybody, make sure that you've repented of it. I was ordained in a denomination. I'll tell on myself. But I was ordained in a denomination that we were taught on the issue of abortion that life starts with breath. Well, the breath of life. So we just took this one truth and made a lie out of it. So I was taught, and I really believed, that abortion could be okay. You know? I was part of my first grandson being murdered. See, it's not... Some of you guys maybe teach from your perfection. I tell you, I got so much evil behind me that I have been set free of. When I realized, and God showed me, He would have showed me before, okay? But I wouldn't listen. After all, I had the right doctrine. The life is in the blood. And in that sperm is a speck of blood. But Jesus had perfect blood because it was God. Okay? But see, killing these children, our nation has just started its suffering for this. Because I checked in Holland, because it was one of the first countries that made abortion acceptable. And I had heard, you know, some things about it. So I went and I checked. And there's oh no, I didn't have time enough. The only way I could check was I hired a guy and we went on a tour. We had a 12-hour layover in Amsterdam. So we hired this guy and I said, and you'll answer all our questions. I said, I don't want a phony. You're for real. You really will answer all the questions. He says, I will. And if I don't, he said, you hold on to the check until we get back. And I said, okay. So we get in his little bus. And he's showing us. We said we didn't want to go to the red light district. He took us anyway. I said, what are you taking us here for? Well, all Americans say they want to go there, but they all want to. I said, well, these don't. I said, strike one, okay? You're forgiven, but don't do this anymore. And anyway, and so I says, tell me, by the way, as long as we're getting into loose living, I heard that when someone's 60 or older and they get seriously ill, they hide from the doctors because they get a shot that puts them to sleep. And he wouldn't answer me. I said, strike two. I said, sir, a workman's worthy of his hire, and you're not earning your money. We got an agreement. I want to know. He says, we don't like to talk about this. We don't even like to think about it. I said, you don't need to think about it, baby, but it's true, isn't it? And he said, yeah, but don't say I said it. I said, I won't use your name. I don't remember it. But see, that's got to happen in America. Why do you think they're trying to build this euthanasia thing? We killed off the youth that were supposed to take care of us in our elderly years. And I don't care if you're a Democrat or Republican. There's a problem here, okay? Did I say something wrong? Oh, Democrat, okay. But this isn't a political issue, folks. This is a moral issue. You know, we have the socialist and the liberal party. Okay? That's where we have deteriorated to in our country. Our president is a wonderful man. I believe he's a Christian. But some of those people that are counseling him that claim to be Christians are liberal. Okay? And the socialist party wants back in. You know, I'm not trying to get into politics. It says pray for your leadership, right? Pray for them. God put them in office. That's get praying, folks, so he don't put another socialist in office. We won't survive another one. All right? And, you know, please don't throw rocks. I know I'm not supposed to speak politically. That is not politically. I'm speaking morals. We have a very moral God. All right? And the church used to speak, and the politicians listened. Now, even both the parties would like to move away from the Christians. I remember when I was a child, I came to school in 1954, I think. But after summer vacation, I went to a country school. There was 8 grades in one room. It was wonderful. It was wonderful. 8 grades in one room. Mrs. Top, she was big, she was tough. You didn't mess around, because she said, I'll sit on you, and she would. But she'd spank you before she sat on you. But you know what? She loved us. She was very firm. And we learned. But she says, well, students, she said, before we can do anything else, we got a lot to do. Opening day wasn't a picnic. You know, it was like back where we started. And she said, before we can do anything else, we got to learn a new Pledge of Allegiance. And we went, oh, no, you know. And then she had it written out on the board, and she just pointed, and she put an asterisk under God. Our nation, our churches, said, we do not want to make a pledge of allegiance to a flag because it's an object. Our allegiance has got to be to God. Now, I love the flag, and I think it's great that we have it up there. But it won't save you. It will not keep our nation free, folks. And a pledge of allegiance to an object, and I know it might be some sacred cow. Yes, I am patriotic, okay? But we settled. The church shut up. Over an issue like that, because under God. All they had was under God. It was just a few years later, prayer was taken out of school. The Beatles came to town. And yes, they claimed to be the Antichrist. These are all curses, folks. They claimed to be the Antichrist. They were told in England, you'll never make it in America, because America's a Christian nation. America did not rise up and say, we don't want this. Behind them came a wave. And you know, those waves hit, and they keep stirring the muck up. And this music gets worse. This music is words spoken. Words spoken. Words spoken. Curses spoken. Got where I started, but we'll... He said he'd let me talk one more time. But, well, the perversion is really bad there, and they're proud of it. You know, I have to fly through there all the time. And the biggest thing they advertise is their red light district. They have more pride in that than the Van Gogh Museum, which is pretty a neat place to go when you got time. I mean, to look at the city, fleshly, it's beautiful. Beautiful building, it's clean. And one thing about the Dutch people, they don't throw their garbage for their neighbor to have to pick up, as far as objects. Okay, but... It's, you know, and I'm not picking on them because, you know, we got our problems here in America. And we all came. And Glenn, by the way, I agree with what you said last night. Because I've studied that for a long time, and I hope we have time to talk about that. Because I'm going to go one step further on that. Most of the people in Israel aren't Jews. okay? Something's got to happen yet, okay? And yet it says, it doesn't say pray for Israel, it says peace in Jerusalem, okay?
Every prime minister of Israel, everyone has been an atheist. And the scripture says, he who denies the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit is what?
Antichrist. Thank you, Glenn. See, this has gone some pretty wild directions. But see, this has all got to do with curses. You know, we're in trouble in the Middle East because we're protecting the nation where Jesus Christ is illegal. Now, you tell me our nation could be blessed doing that. But we have been taught by these sacred cows that whether... you know what a cow does at will? It just drops its lunch. It's called cow pie. That's what sacred cows do. I watch it in India, and they're walking through our churches, and they're dropping these cow pies called doctrine. I mean, is that a vivid enough picture? Been to the farm? All right? It's not good, folks. And if I'm offending you by my language, at least you know what I'm talking about. You got a picture, okay? But the bottom line is this stuff is being dropped and walked in and tracked around. My mom always said, I grew up in a dairy farm, clean your feet. You know, don't track it in. Yeah. You didn't track that stuff in, see? And yet we're letting these things. Our nation is protecting, and I'm not saying abandon those people, but I'll tell you, I had a friend of mine taken to the border, and it was a Syrian border. They didn't care which one. You know what he did in Israel that was he got taken out for? He was on the street and telling people about Jesus Christ. Yes! You better believe it. It's not a holy land. It's a Bible land.
There is a law in Israel that if you get an Israel or Jewish person proselyte them to Jesus, they have a law that they can shoot you at sunrise with a firing squad without a trial. It has never happened yet, but that law is on the book.
Okay, I'm not trying to turn you against those people, and I don't want to turn you against the Arabs either, because the only solution is Jesus. And both of them, they've made him illegal. Oh, you say, how can it get so bad? You go out in New Mexico, and we have the Pueblo Indian tribes. And the tribal governors have made Jesus illegal. The people that were having Bible studies on these reservations. I know, I tried to work with these people. They have had, you know, Indians live in trailer houses quite frequently. And they go away, and they come back, and their house is gone. Everything they own, the lot is bare. They own the land. But because they were having a Bible study in their home, it was taken off the reservation and just left in the field. All right? See, our nation is working at trying to make Jesus illegal. You know, I got news for you. You try to stop me talking about Jesus, and one of us is going to be down. Okay? Because I'm not backing down, and I won't hit you in the name of Jesus. You can't stop me. All right? I've had guns pulled on me. I had someone told me they shot. I heard the shot. I didn't feel it. I don't know. But in the name of Jesus, they can't hurt you if you take up any deadly thing. If you will believe it, folks. But see, our nation is being hurt. You know, that's one of the concerns you have. And you come from a nation that exactly, they followed men. Germany. Great nation. A lot of our boys died over there. And a lot of their boys did. But see, the bottom line is, folks, these are all curses. These are foundations of curses. The only solution for the Middle East is Jesus Christ. The only way he's really going to get in there, he's coming back with a rod of iron. You know what I mean? And you know what part of your rewards for your faithfulness is? You get to help enforce. All right? I mean, what a wonderful thing. But you know what? Even though he's come with a rod of iron, he'll still have love in his heart. That's why we've got to learn to love through these situations. I'm not trying to incite you against any government or anything else because, listen, folks, let's get wise and smart about this thing. You have a king. He's not king on this earth yet, but yes, he is because he's a king in Carl Fox's heart.
Yes.
Is he a king in your heart?
Yes, he is.
Is he a king in your heart?
Yes.
Amen? We have a king.
Yes.
We don't have to bow to that stuff. People say, you can't talk about that here, brother. And I said, I just did. Because I make sure I did it before they stop me. We don't need to back down. This is not rebellion, folks. If you do, you know what makes a believer, and I keep saying this, I hope you remember, a believer is somebody that believes what they believe. We're here to make sure that we believe the right stuff, okay? You know, the sister, she's not here, but, okay, yesterday, remember? The Bible say under it, right? See, we have got to believe the Word of God. And, yeah, you got to keep reading it. You got to keep plugging away at it. You know, and yes, we will falter. But Christ in you, the hope of glory, we can rise up. See, I'm not trying to incite a doctrine against the Jews, and if they are or aren't, that's not the issue. Because there's Jews, Gentiles, and Kingdom of God. That's the three real nations that's mentioned in the Word. We're Kingdom of God. Go ahead. It isn't a legal word. Heathen. Heathen. But that's what's in the Word, and it's a mistranslation, because it is heathen. Amen, I got one. I stand corrected. And Glenn, don't you ever hesitate. All right? But it says... Right. The bottom line is that we are Christians, because one of the first things I do when I get up in front is I ask God to show me who's not a Christian. All right? I'm a snoop. Because if there's somebody in this room that's not a Christian, guess what? You guys ain't going to get much, maybe, because I'm going after him or her. All right? Because that's the real deliverance. That's reach the lost. People say you're an evangelist. No, I'm not. But I sure love to evangelize. Okay? You know, the bottom line is, I praise God for His Word. I praise God for understanding His Word. And if I'm wrong in any of this, you got a right to talk to me about it, okay? But I won't argue with you. If we're going to have an argument, you go ahead and start, because I'm going to leave. Okay? Because I'm not going to argue about the Word of God, but everything I know, I have learned. Right? You too? Right? We learn from the Word of God. We got two teachers, the Spirit and the Word. And they both have got to line up. But anyway, the next time I will get into the curse of the bastard, and I'm going to show you from the Word, literally, how that is what has destroyed the Christian church. Literally. It has taken the church and has filled it full of goats. The sheep, nearly every sheep has been driven out of what we call the church. Okay? And you know what? Pastor's not the head of the church. Jesus is. And I was ordained years ago as a pastor, so I'm not picking on pastor. But the bottom line is that with a group like this, there's a lot of pastors. Because Jesus, in His ministry, His pastoral ministry, He worked with a dozen guys. Okay? A pastor cannot tend a big flock and accomplish what needs to be accomplished. So God, in His wisdom, in the church, put a pastor for about every dozen or 20 people. There's a pastor. So the goats have come in, and the first people are driven out. It's the pastors. It's the pastors, okay? And like I said, I'm going to get in. I'm going to show you from the Word of God how it's happened. You know, and we need to reconcile the church back together. We may never meet in one of the buildings with that phallic symbol up there they call steeple. But the bottom line is that it is when, what's his name, Constantine, I don't think he was a Christian. I think he was the starter of the Catholic Church. You know, but he looked at, he knew the Bible, the devil knows the Bible. But he knew the Bible, so what he did is he says, I look at the gifts, he says, and the guys that are being neglected that aren't getting any attention is the pastor. So I'm going to make the pastor the head of the church. Well, most churches, the head of the church is the CEO of a corporation that is run by the Internal Revenue Service. And it's a reality that we have to deal with. But our people have been run out, you know. See, and they think there's something wrong with them if they don't fit in. Well, you know how Satan cannot do anything against God's people without legal cause. And one of the things I'm going to show you is the curse of the bastard. Well, we'll break it now, but when I teach on it, we're really going to deal with it. But we don't have time, no. But I just want you to understand that that curse is as literally the main thing that Satan has used against. The next time we're going to get into that curse, okay? Right now, we're past due for lunch. And so, God bless you, and I love you. Amen. So, Father, I just praise you and thank you in the name of Jesus Christ for your mercy and your grace. Father, that we not get rebellious with our knowledge, that we not get a fat head. But, Father, help us to better minister, to reach those sheep that are scattered, to bring them back into your fold. And I thank you for each of these people. I break the authority of the bastard curse off anybody that it's on in the name of Jesus Christ. And I speak a blessing that they can fully come in to the congregation of the Lord in Jesus' name. Amen. Yeah. Father, in the name of Jesus, I bless the food. We thank you for the food and that you bring us provision. I thank you for the bless the fellowship around it in Jesus' name.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.